The subject that we're going to cover is biblical sanctification. What does the Bible say about sanctification? Now, my introduction today is going to be a little bit longer, and so that's why I know that we definitely will need 2 weeks for sure. So let me just pray, and then we're going to continue on the lesson of biblical sanctification. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the plan of salvation, first and foremost. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that in this hour, even during this Sunday school hour, Lord, that anyone that is listening in this meeting, the youth meeting, or the young people or the youth group, Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction upon hearts that are not saved, and that even today we would hear of someone trusting you as their Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we think about sanctification, before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about what happens before sanctification, okay? I like to think of three biblical terms when we look at our journey of getting to know God in a greater way, and then someday being in heaven. Okay, the first word that I want to give you, and this isn't on the PowerPoint, but you can just listen and soak it in as the Lord helps you with that, is the word justification. Justification. Now, before we can get to sanctification, we have to start with justification. It's kind of like this. You cannot have a child growing until they're born. You understand what I'm saying, right? A child has to be born before they can experience the growth process. And so the birth of a child into a home is a very joyful event. And those of you that have children, you know what I'm talking about, and grandchildren and so on. But after a child's birth, there is a growth process that takes place. But you don't start growing before you're born. Now, that's not very deep. I understand that. But to really grab a hold of what we're trying to get accomplished, first, we want to think about, so we have justification, we have sanctification, and we have glorification. What are the three? What are the three? Same with me. Ready? Justification, sanctification, glorification. Okay? And so if you're listening right now, you are not at glorification. Okay? Unless somehow this is being transmitted all the way up to heaven. All right? And I guess the great cloud of witnesses might be listening, so they would be in glorification, all right? So justification is the beginning process of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We are in need of justification. Jesus said it this way, you must be what? Born again. That's all part of justification, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Sanctification cannot happen before justification. So, if you're listening right now and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have never put Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have never accepted the gift of eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Meaning, there's something that you have to do. Oh, you don't have to earn it. Jesus Christ paid it all. But there is an act that has to take place by faith of every individual in order to be justified, for whosoever shall call. That shows that there's something, not in a way of working for it, but I have to make a decision. John 1:12 says this, but as many as what? Received him. There you go. So in order to be justified, I have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It did not come to me because I was born into the family of Ken and Lee Turner. Happy birthday, Mom. Happy birthday, Mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. It's not my mom's birthday. Don't send her a birthday card. I was born into Ken and Lee Turner's family. Now, they were already Christians. They had already been justified. 1973, I was born into their family. That did not make me justified. I am not justified because I am born into the family of a man and a woman who were justified. No, there had to be a day in my life, there had to come a time in my life where I received what Jesus Christ had provided for me. There had to be a time in my life where I was convicted of my sin. By the way, until conviction comes, conversion cannot come. Until conviction comes, conversion cannot come. You can teach a parrot to recite the sinner's prayer, right? They can just repeat it. You can try to get someone to repeat the sinner's prayer like a parrot, but if they're not convicted of their sin and the great need that they have of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way that individual can be saved. The Holy Spirit of God must be drawing that individual. And so today, wherever you're listening from in the Lower Mainland here, if you're in your home, if you're outside, as Brother Moises said, he's outside. Praise the Lord for being able to listen to church outside. Amen. And or if you're in the United States or if you're across the sea, no matter where you are, before you can even think about being sanctified, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be justified. Justification. Have you ever been saved? That happened to me when I was 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, I recognized that I was a sinner. I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ, but my parents and the godly men and my Sunday school teachers, my pastor, Dr. Lee Robertson, preaching the Word of God faithfully for all those years down there at Highland Park Baptist Church, I recognized that I was a sinner. And as a 9-year-old boy, I experienced justification. I don't even know if I could spell it when I was 9 years old. Maybe I could. I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I knew this. I knew that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means I could be in that group, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I was justified. What are the three terms? Justification, sanctification, glorification. Okay? And so have you been saved? That is justification. Well, now, when you get saved, we don't just go to heaven immediately. You know that, right? Okay, I'm 46. I got saved when I was 9. Do a little bit of subtraction. That was 37 years ago, last month. 37 years ago. So I got saved when I was 9. I didn't immediately go to heaven and become glorified. Okay? Let's skip over sanctification and talk about glorification. Okay? Glorification is when someone who has been justified passes away, the body, the body of flesh, dies, and now we go, skip sanctification, we're going to come back to that, okay? And then we get a new body. It's called the glorified body. And now we're in heaven with the Lord, and we're not bound by our bodies anymore. Sin is no longer, has dominion at all in us. The old nature is done away with. And so we experience glorification, okay? But we're not going to dwell on that as long as justification. But right smack dab in the middle of those is the one we're going to talk about. And that's the one that I'm burdened in my own life, and I'm burdened in your life, that there needs to be more Christians in this world that have the features of their Father. You hear that? There needs to be more Christians in this world that have the spiritual features of their Father. Now, we're still in the introduction, so hang on. I think if you looked at some of the pictures of my family, I'm talking about my dad, Ken, my mom, Lee, there in Powell, Tennessee, and then I have a brother, John, up there in Wisconsin. I have a sister, Sarah, down there in Georgia, and I have a brother, Matt, over there in Indiana, and they're married. Each one of them are married and have kids of their own. I think if you got the four of us Turner kids together and you lined us up, even though we've got one rose, my sister, and then three thorns, us boys, you know what? I think you're going to find some characteristics, physically speaking, that identify us with Ken Turner and Lee Turner, our parents. There are some physical characteristics that are very evident. And then I bring that into my family, my wife and I, almost 26 years of marriage. Praise the Lord for that. We have been given three beautiful children as well, our son Caleb, our daughter Brianna, and our daughter Emma. Caleb's now married to Abby, and they have Carson. Let me just tell you about Carson for a little while. No, I've got to stay with the preaching. I can't be a grandpa right now. I've got to be a pastor, okay? But if you take those three children, and you get my wife and I, and you take our picture, unfortunately, you're going to see a lot of their dad, and I know that's terrible for their sake, but you're going to see a lot of their beautiful mother as well. The point is this, there are physical characteristics that are passed on from a father and a mother to a son and a daughter. It happens. It's part of the biological makeup. It's what happens. Now, setting that aside, but using that as a springboard, in a nutshell, that's exactly what should be being accomplished in sanctification. I inherited physical traits and characteristics of my dad and my mom. Then, when I got saved, I should immediately, yes, even in a 9-year-old way, now moving ahead into my 46th year of life, almost 47, I should begin to resemble my Savior. I should begin to resemble my Heavenly Father. I should begin to have spiritual features of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's exactly what this lesson is all about. Teaching us some basic truths of how sanctification is a biblical means or biblical term. And it's not something that we as God's children should set to the side. It's something that we should be striving for. But here's the thing. Justification is 100% of God. There's no way you can be justified by good works. But I want to say this today, that you cannot be sanctified by your own strength either. We cannot be sanctified by our own good works either. No, we need God's help. We need the help of the one who indwells us as the child of God, the Holy Spirit of God. We need God's help. And it's not just 100% God for justification. I submit to you that I must have 100% of God's help in order to experience sanctification as well. All right, so you have your Bible there. That was the introduction. Hope that was a help to you. I hope that maybe caused you to begin to dwell on some things and think about some other things in your own life, and especially if you're not saved. Oh, if you're not saved, today should be the day of your salvation. So, if you have a Bible, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. You're going to need your Bible. We're going to be all over the Word of God because this is what we would call a topical Sunday school lesson. And so we're talking about sanctification, and we're going to look at it in various different places. So, starting with a question. These are all the main headings on this lesson are all in the form of questions. And so, the first question that we're going to look at is, what is sanctification? What is sanctification? And we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Follow along, please, with me, if you would, in verse 21. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, circle that word or underline it or make note of it, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. What is sanctification? Number one, sanctification means to be clean and set apart for God's use and possession. Let's say it one more time. If you're watching, you should see it as well. Sanctification means to be clean and set apart for God's use and possession. Paul is challenging Timothy. Who is Timothy? Well, Timothy is what we call Paul's son in the faith. What does that mean? Paul's son in the faith. Was Paul Timothy's biological dad? No, son in the faith. It means that Paul was discipling Timothy. Paul was someone who had witnessed to Timothy and had given him the things of the Word of God. He's challenging Timothy here in this second epistle to Timothy. And to sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the intended use of its designer. Now, I have some things here with me to look at, okay? I have here with me today, can we see this? This has water in it, so I'm going to be careful. But this is a coffee mug. Okay? Now, we could use this coffee mug for various things. Now, remember our definition. Number one, to be clean, set apart for God's use and possession. First thing about this coffee mug, not in the outline, but just in thinking about it, is if you pulled this coffee mug out of the cupboard over here at the church office and there was a big chunk of egg in the bottom of it or a big chunk of whatever, goo in the bottom of it, I probably think you may or may not want to use that coffee mug until it's clean, right? I'm going to take a drink right now. So this is a mug. You would want it to be clean. You would want it not to have chunks of food on the inside of it. Here's another one. I've seen this before. Won't say where. You might be able to figure it out. But every once in a while, on the outside of my mug, not really the mugs, but glasses, you might see the imprint of someone's lips. Hello. Not mine, I'll tell you that, because I don't wear lipstick. But that's happened in a few restaurants as well. And every once in a while it happened. Not really at our house. It never really happens. much. No, it very rarely happens. But just occasionally, I'm throwing my wife under the bus on Mother's Day. Wow. Anyway, have you ever done that, though? Have you ever taken that glass or that mug and lifted it up, and then your eyes glance down, and just before you take a drink, or how about this one? You take a drink, and you notice it, and your drink is half empty. Here you've been slurping out of this mug or slurping out of this cup for the last portion of your meal, only to realize that somebody's lips were on it. Now, we haven't had that problem recently because we haven't been sitting down in restaurants recently. And so, but you understand that this is a mug. It is set apart for drinking. That's what this is for. Okay? Now, what if you came to my house and I had this in my hand and I had a big bowl. I had a big bowl of potato salad. How many of you like potato salad out there? Wow, I like homemade potato salad. Nothing like it. There's nothing compared to it. You can stack anybody's potato salad in the restaurants. I've never found anything like homemade potato salad. Got to have some dill in that potato salad, by the way. I like a little bit of dill in there. But anyway, if you came to my house and you saw me and we sat around the table and we were going to have potato salad, and I took this mug and I took it and I scooped in the potato salad and put the potato salad on your plate, would you think that looked a little bit strange? You know what? Yes. Because why? Because this has been set apart not for scooping potato salad. This is a coffee mug. Actually, it has water in it right now, so that's even not its intended purpose. Anything that looks like this is not for anything but coffee. Amen? Amen. Okay. But anyway, this is for liquid. This is not to be dipped in and used to scoop potato salad out of. Now, I have to admit to you, there's been a few times when there's stew or something on the thing, and I'm looking and looking, and I mean, it's right there, but I don't see it. And so what do? You grab whatever's close by that you can use to scoop with, right? You've done it before. Please, somebody out there, tell me you've done it before. You didn't grab a ladle like you were supposed to use. I think that's what they're called. You grabbed anything or anything at all that would be able to use as a scooping mechanism to get whatever it was on your plate because you were so hungry, you hadn't had anything to eat for 3 hours, that you had to have something right away. No, this is a mug intended to be used to drink out of. You understand what I'm saying? Look at it. Let's look at it again. To be clean and set apart for God's use and possession. See, a spoon, if I was to, let's look at it the other way around. If I had a spoon here with me and I was constantly drinking with that spoon, you came to my house and I said, would you like to have a cup of coffee? And you said, sure, I'd love to have a cup of coffee. And let's say that I gave you a bowl of coffee. Yeah, a bowl of coffee and a spoon. And I said, here you go. There's your coffee and your spoon. And I have a bowl of coffee and a spoon, and I start drinking my coffee with my spoon. Would you wonder what in the world happened to you, Pastor Turner? What has this COVID-19 done to you? I mean, it's done a lot to you. You've been, man, what is wrong with you? I'm not making fun. I shouldn't make fun. It's a very serious thing. But you would think something's wrong with you. Why? Because typically you don't drink coffee with a spoon. No, a spoon would be better off in the potato salad, and the coffee would be better off in the coffee mug or the porcelain mug because it's set apart for that purpose. When I am sanctified, we are sanctified when we submit to God's design and purpose. Let's look back at that verse, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, ready, prepared for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We are created by God, for God, and we've been set apart for God. What is sanctification? To be clean and set apart for God's use and possession. Number two, sanctification is God's solution to man's sinful nature. Okay, remember, what was this one over here? Justification. Remember? Justification, sanctification, glorification. All right? So when I got saved, justification, something amazing happened. I was given the Holy Spirit of God to indwell me as a believer. And so the Holy Spirit took up residence in my life, but my old nature did not leave my life. So now I have the old man and the new man. Not until glorification do I get rid of the old man, okay? So that's why in sanctification is so important. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It is God's solution to man's sinful nature. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And the very God of peace," here it is, "sanctify you wholly," completely, sanctify, underline it, circle it, "and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Sanctification, number two, is God's solution to a sinful man's nature. Okay, I have several statements. They're not in the outline, but listen to these carefully about this thought. Sin always messes everything up. Sin always brings destruction. I want you to let that sink in, okay? Sin always brings what? Destruction. There's no way around it. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There isn't anything pleasant about the fruit of sin, right? Everything that sin finishes is death, destruction, discouragement, all of these words, that's sin. Now, the good news is this. Salvation, justification, covers up all the sin. It cleanses all the sin, right? Aren't you glad today to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad this afternoon to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood covers, it cleanses, it does away with all of our sin. The penalty of sin has been paid on the cross. And someday when we get to glorification, we'll be away from the very presence of sin. Oh, but what about sanctification? You see, sin, even to the believer, sin is still powerful. Many times you have to admit, and myself included, that sin can have power over us. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. So we said this, number one, sin always causes destruction. Salvation comes in and cleanses and covers it all. And here's what sanctification is. I like this thought. Sanctification says, I don't want to take the cover off. What's the cover? The covering is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, biblically speaking, we cannot lose our salvation. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is someone that is on the road, and by the way, sanctification, we're going to talk about this, doesn't just happen one time and now we're sanctified. This is a moment in time. Justification, right, that's it. You don't become saved. You don't be becoming saved. You recognize Jesus died for your sins and you put your faith and trust in Him, or you reject Him. Now, it may be a process of hearing once, hearing twice, hearing three times. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it's a moment in time. Just like on June 28, 1973, a moment in time, I was born. I wasn't born over a 7-day process or 14 days or whatever. My mother says, thank God for that. Okay? No, moment in time. Boom. There I am. I'm now a bouncing baby boy. All right? And so when I got saved, it was right there. Moment in time. 9 years old. But between that time and glorification, there's a process that's happening, and that is the sanctification process. It is God's solution to man's sinful nature. The part of Ben Turner that wants to do wrong can be suppressed by the new nature of Ben Turner saying, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to take on the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're with me on that. I hope that's your testimony as well. Turn back to chapter 4 of the same book of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look in verse number 3. What's the will of God for my life, Pastor Turner? Here's one of them. For this is the will of God. Mark it in your Word Bibles if you want to know the will of God. For this is the will of God, verse 3, even your what, class? Sanctification. It is God's will, it is God's will for every one of His children to be within somewhere the process of sanctification. And I say that for the sake of that's what it is. So today, we're not looking around at our fellow brothers and sisters and saying, well, I'm more sanctified than you, you're less sanctified than me. No, we're all in this together. We're all on a journey together, and we're all trying to look more like the Master. We're all trying to act more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you read the Gospels, let me encourage you today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are what we call the Gospels. You might be a new believer. You might be a senior believer. You've been saved for even longer. And I'm not saying I'm somebody, but you've been saved for more than 40 years. You know what? The best thing you can do to know about Jesus Christ is read those Gospels. You know what would be a good thing for all of us to do is reread Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, we have great books that we can look at as well. I'm not saying don't read other books, but I'm just saying get the Bible out and read the Gospels. Why? Because we want to learn how Jesus responded in every situation. Now, we see a little bit of His childhood, and then we see mainly 3 years of ministry. But it's amazing that in those 3 years of ministry, we can learn so much about how to respond and how not to respond. You know what? Jesus never responded in fear. Never. So if I am becoming more sanctified, do you know what that means? That means I am going to be less and less affected by fear. It means that when something comes into my life that I wasn't expecting, I don't fear the situation. I take a step back and I will see, okay, what does God have in this? Oh, I'm the first one to raise my hand and say that I have feared before, but fear is not from the Lord. But I just admitted to you that that was not right. God hath not given me the spirit of fear. He's given me the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as we read about Jesus and how Jesus lived His life, He never feared. We can read about Jesus and we can learn that Jesus loved people. We sang about one of those people that He loved that very few people would have loved. The woman at the well. That's her name, by the way, to you, to me, for all eternity. Woman at the well. No name. For all of us that think we need to have a name, there you go. Proof and point, you don't need to have a name. Just woman at the well, and everybody's still talking about the woman at the well. But the reason why we're talking about the woman at the well is because of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I must needs go through Samaria. So we see that Jesus was not judgmental about other races or other languages or cultures. He was compassionate for everyone. What I'm saying is this. When we learn about Jesus, we learn why we're even on this sanctification journey, is we're trying to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back and others can pat ourselves on the back, so that we can please God. God has given you and God has given me richly all things to enjoy. He's given us eternal life. Oh, someday glorification's coming. But until then, I want to live my life in this sanctification process so that I can please Him. See, sanctification is God's solution to man's sinful nature. Sanctification is God's process to change my character and conduct, which have been flawed by sin. Number 3, what is sanctification? And I've kind of already been alluding to this already, all right? Sanctification is a process. Okay? What is justification? Justification is a point in time, if you want to go with the P's in your outline, okay? Justification is a point in time. Sanctification is a process, all right? And glorification is a promise. There you go. I gave you three P's. All right? Free. That didn't cost any. Won't take up an extra offering. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're talking about the process right now. We're talking about the process. 2 Peter chapter number 3. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Says, read it out there with me wherever you are. I'll give you just a second. Find it. Ready? Let's read it. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen or amen, whichever you prefer. Okay? What's the first three words? But, four words. But grow in grace. But grow in grace. Let's emphasize the second word. It's the word grow. It's the word grow. Okay? I already told you, on June 28, 1973, I was born. Okay? In April 1983, I was born again. Those are two very, especially the first one, to be born the first time. You can't be saved until you're born the first time. So those are momentous dates for me. I've got my wedding anniversary, July 9th, 1994. Other dates, all of our children's birthdays. I'll just stop right there. I know what they are, but I'm not going to try to grab them right now. I've got to keep on the track here. So the point is this. I did not become this strapping 5'9" frame that is before you a week after I was born. There's been a lot of growing. Now, if you've been around long enough, you know there's been a lot of growing and shrinking. I'm trying to keep it shrunk here a little bit for a little bit longer this time, okay? The point is this. It's a process. It takes time. Growing. I'm talking about spiritually. Sure, physically the same, but spiritually speaking, it takes time. You don't get saved, and then a week later you get saved. Everything about your walk is just like Billy the Bible. You know, whoever Billy the Bible is, I don't know who he is. I'm just saying, it takes time. Go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's a process. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. This is part of the process. You see, when we get saved, when we got justification, we brought a lot into the relationship with us. Sometimes we refer to it as baggage. Right? That's what we're talking about here in this text of weights. Some sin as well. Notice what those things do. They beset us. They slow us down. They stop us from growing. And so if I continue to have this sin and of these weights on me, the growth process, and what is the end goal? The end goal is God, but the end goal is to become more like who? Jesus Christ. And so if I have these weights and I have these sins that are on me, it's gonna take forever. And I'm not saying we're in a race. We are, though, in a race, but it's not that we're trying to go as fast as we can, but it's this. We want, as soon as we recognize things that need to be done away with, we need to cast those things off. Why? Look what it says here. So that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. There's a tough one, isn't it? Patience. But there's some running and there's some waiting. There's some running and there's some waiting. It's a process. It's a growth process, sanctification. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2 says. You see it there? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it is a process. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And this is where we're going to finish up today. And so this gives me an idea that we're going to need probably 2, maybe 3 weeks to go through sanctification. I hope that your wheels are spinning. Some of this is brand new to you. Some of it is a good refresher course on sanctification. The bottom line is this. No one listening, it's not been a waste of time because we're not glorified yet. Therefore, we need to work on the sanctification process, which means we need to depend on the Lord to do His work, leaning on Him completely. All right? We're going to just get into this partway into this. Might get this part done, and that'll be the end of it. Look at chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Many of you know this text. Look at verse number 5. I want you to look at the first three words. And beside this. And beside this. Make note of that in your Bible. Beside what? Beside this. Let's look up. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's over here. Which is what? Justification. What's over here? Glorification. That's in heaven someday. All right? Praise. Let's rejoice in that. We're not there yet. It's as good as done in Christ. But that's to come. But then he says, and beside this, so beside the fact that you are saved, verse 5, now he's going to mention several things that we need to add. Okay? We need to add. Let's look at it. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now that's not what we're at. We haven't got to the word add yet, have we? All right? Diligence. Let's think about diligence. Diligence means that we pay special attention to it. We give heed to it. It means there's work involved. Someone who's diligent takes time to consider the matter. Paying close attention. Every I dot and every T is crossed. Diligence. So sanctification, yes, is all of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we as the believer, we've got to be diligent about this thing. Why? Because the devil doesn't roll over when you get saved and say, oh, Turner got saved, that's it, we've lost Turner. No. In fact, I believe the exact opposite happens. I believe he doubles down and he says, okay, SWAT team A, B, and C, sick 'em. Because if the devil can keep me from growing in grace, then the multiplication that God wants to do in and through me, this is for you as well, I'm just using me as an example, the multiplication that God wants to do, what does that mean? That means someone that I share the gospel with gets saved, they share the gospel with someone, and it just keeps going on and on. It starts with my own family. By the way, dads, it is very important that you pray for your children to be saved. Pray for them at an early age. Get them under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. In these days, hey dads, in these days where we can't meet together, it is of the utmost importance that you as the father are the guard of your home. You should make sure that your children are in this teen Sunday school class, that are in this Zoom call on Thursday night, that are in everything that they can be in, listening to the Sunday school lesson for the little guys and gals and all of it, and being in this men's prayer meeting. Dads, I want to challenge you. Next Sunday morning, 10 a.m., praise God, we had 4 men in the prayer meeting today. We should have 14 in the prayer meeting next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Amen? Amen? Okay, that's all the ladies that said amen right there. We should have more men in that prayer meeting. We need to get a hold of God. I'm telling you, I can't be the man that God has created me to be without God's help. What I'm saying is, this thing is a process, but it's a diligent one. It takes diligence. And I want to get my children ready, and I'm not the best dad in the room or on the website right now or on the internet right now. There's only one other dad in the room. So anyway, I'm not the best dad anywhere, I'll tell you that. But I know this. God wants to help me and help you with his word to be diligent and to, beside this, add some things. It's time that we as God's people say the process of sanctification is a wonderful journey. Where did I stop adding? All right, let's look at it. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your, what's that word? Faith. Okay? So the first thing that we have is faith. We can't add something to nothing. We're adding something to faith. So what is faith? Faith is this, trusting God enough to obey him. Trusting God enough to obey him. Could that be said of your life? Could that be said of my life? Hey, what does it take to be saved? For by grace are you saved through faith. You know what? Getting saved is simply trusting God enough to obey his word. And that is the beginning of the Christian life. Faith. It's all built on faith, isn't it? By the way, it's not blind faith. No. My faith is in the finished work of Jesus declared for us in the pages of the Word of God. It's the beginning. Faith is believing God, trusting God enough to obey Him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you trust God? If we're going to experience sanctification, this is the beginning of the process. We trust God for our eternal soul's destiny by saying, I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you believe that or not, it's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse number 6. So, today, I know that I'm on my way to heaven because of faith, not in me, not in the Baptist, not in my college diploma, not in whoever or anyone. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is trusting in God enough to obey what He says. He said in His Word that you could only be saved through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Then faith says, I believe that. I'm going to obey what the Word of God says. But that's the beginning. That's the beginning. Now, the journey of sanctification begins. Faith is trusting God enough to obey Him. Let's look at one more. Add to your faith, virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is purifying my motives and my morals. Notice those two words, motives and morals. Motives. Why we do what we do. Why do we go to church? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we listen to certain music and not other music? Why? That's our motives. And I hope that our motive is always to please God. That should be our motive. And then we see the morals. Purifying our motives and our morals. Again, depending on how old you were when you got saved, will determine how your morals were. Now, I was as wicked a sinner at 9 and would have gone to hell more than likely at 9. I don't know the age of accountability. I think by 9 I understood the difference between right and wrong. I believe by 9 I was, for me, I know I was going to be accountable for my sin at 9. I'm not saying that for every 9-year-old. I'm saying that for me. But you know what? Somebody that got saved at 9 and somebody that got saved at 29, the 29-year-old had a lot more chance to get into sin than the 9-year-old did. Now, that doesn't mean the 9-year-old needs less of Jesus and the 29-year-old needs more. I'm just saying that when we say yes by faith to Jesus, there's definitely going to be some morals in our life that need to be dealt with. And here's the beauty of it all. The Lord Jesus Christ helps us to experience adding virtuous living. And those of you that have read this text know that there's many more to go through. And because of time, we're going to stop right there. And by God's grace, we are going to begin this series of sanctification, part 2, next Lord's Day, God willing. But I want to just leave you with this before we pray and catch our breath and get ready for the 4 o'clock meeting. If you have never been justified, justification is premium. Folks, if you die without Jesus Christ, there will not be a do-over. There will not be a second chance. In fact, the fact that you're alive today and without Christ, you've had more than one chance, let me tell you. And so if you're listening right now, Spirit's knocking on your heart. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. You don't have to wait till the 4 o'clock hour. Right now, wherever you are, you can bow your head. But as many as received Him, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, why not right now? Call on Him for salvation. You don't have to pray a magical prayer. It's not just repeating after me, but you can pray a prayer of faith and just ask the Lord to save you, admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you deserve hell, which you do. The wages of sin is death. Revelation 20, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. Glory to God. He's now in heaven at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. He wants you to be saved today. If you're not saved, why don't you just right now, just pause me, mute me, talk to the Lord.